WGTD Midday Newscast, we feature a song by a local artist. So why not join us for Noon Tunes Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD HD.
The Gateway Radio Reading Service is for visually impaired listeners who would like to have newspapers and books read to them. In the Kenosha Racine area, easy-to-operate radios are available free of charge. Visit WGTD.org or call 564-3744.
This is WGTD HD serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, Jenny Tunkies, former reporter for the Kenosha News and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive, Marcia Connett, who is a Southeast Regional Consultant for Wisconsin Literacy, and she provides literacy education support and management expertise, and Xander Miller, a librarian at the Kenosha Public Library who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 30-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. I'm Marcia Connett, and welcome to Community Matters here on WGTD HD Public Radio. I have a really special guest with me. My guest today is Denise Lockwood, and Denise and I have actually known each other probably longer than we care to admit, but Denise is just probably one of the most creative and interesting people that I've had a chance to know, and she is currently, is your proper title the editor?
So I'm the owner, chief cook and bottle washer.
Literally, of the Racine County Eye. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, why don't you give the website right away, and we'll do it again at the end.
Sure. It's RacineCountyEye.com. And we started 10 years ago. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary, like literally a few weeks ago. So I'm super jacked about that. We not only survived, but we thrived, and we're in such a great place. And I'm super excited about where we are.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's been a ride, and it's been had its share of bumps, but it's been so much better.
I'm sure. Well, and we're gonna get into the real meat of the Racine County Eye in just a little bit, but I'd love to hear, and I don't know that I've ever asked you, your backstory. How did you get? Now, you said you were born in Ohio, is that right?
I am. I'm a Buckeye.
But you're a Midwesterner.
Girl. I'm definitely an Ohio girl, yeah.
Okay, good.
So I grew up on a farm.
Okay.
Yep, and I grew up on a farm, and my first writing job, this is a little bit of a Denise trivia, first writing job was actually writing for a little farming newspaper called the Firelands Farmer.
Oh, I love it. What kind of things did you write?
Oh, it was really fascinating. So I grew up on a pig farm. I actually was a 4-H kid, and my entire first year of college was paid for with all of the animals I auctioned off at in the fall. Shout out to the 4-H in Hughes County. So writing for me was just such a big natural progression because I was a big reader. My mom used to read like Little Women to us, and we did the Nancy Drew books and all of the Trixie Belden books, and I'm kind of dating myself and my mom a little.
That's all right.
Like, reading was like, that's what we did. And into like my early teens, my mom, we would read together. And my mom had just this most calming voice. And when she would start reading, and we'd have like this little adventure of our minds, and we were always in the library, we were always learning. Like, that was a very central component to growing up Lockwood, right? So that's actually one of the things that kind of got me hooked into journalism was when I was 11 years old, I ended up going to Ireland and England with my mom. Called it the Peanut Butter and Jelly Tour. Mm. Very, 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 very upscale. No, hardly no.
Oh, how
literally
fun.
Packed peanut butter and jelly in our suitcases.
Yep, yep.
And we went to Shakespeare's house. And I was 11 at the time, right? Okay, so I am standing in the door and in Shakespeare's birthplace, Stratford-upon-Avon, I look up at the door jamb and I realize he is short.
Ah.
He was a good writer. So if I'm short, I can be a good writer too. And then, ergo, friends, is how I got addicted to journalism, you know, the back end way. That was the beginning. And I made my mom, I was like, I want Shakespeare, some books by Shakespeare, right? Or plays, right? And she's like, why don't we get you the 365-day quote book of Shakespeare? And I read the whole darn thing on the train back to London.
How cool is
and
that?
And I just fell in love with words. Fell in love. It was so awesome, right?
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, so I was also on speech and debate team when I was at Worcester High School, which shout out to Worcester High School, go Generals. So I grew up on debating, and I literally went to Farmers Union rallies and Lincoln Day dinners in the same day. So I learned about politics, and I learned about science, and I learned about all of these amazing things. And then we would do speech tournaments and debating, and it was just so fun because I learned to listen. I learned to think critically, and then I went to college, and it was an interesting ride in college.
And where did you go to school?
For college? That's always a trick question for me because I have several iterations of that. So I started out at the University of Akron, a little satellite version of, called Wayne General, which it's not called Wayne General anymore. I met my husband. We transferred to Wisconsin, and I said, what's in Wisconsin besides more cows?
Yeah. We wanted you to feel at home.
And I'm like, but you know what? I moved to Wisconsin when I was 22, and I fell in love with Wisconsin.
Wonderful.
Truly fell in love because it had all of these really cool elements to it. If I wanted to go see the cows or go to a fair, county fair, all I had to go was 20 minutes to Union Grove, right?
Sure.
I wanted to go hang out at a really awesome urban area. I could go to Milwaukee, but Racine had such a huge amount of energy to it. This was during the early 90s, right?
Yes.
Good, bad, or otherwise, right?
Yep.
And it was right on Lake Michigan. I remember at the time, it was my ex-husband. We hadn't gotten married yet, and he took me down by the lake, and I was just like, this is the place that invents things, and this is the place that all of this energy is, and I have to be here.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah.
Nice. Well, good. Well, we're very glad you found your way here. So how did you find your way into journalism?
So journalism was something I had a teacher. I knew when I first started college, I was a mass comm. Or actually, no, I was a communications major, right? Because I just loved how do we talk about the things that we talk about and how do you do it better? And I always knew that that's where I kind of wanted to be. And then I had a Western civilizations teacher who ironically knew I was a farm kid who said, you know, I've been freelancing for this little newspaper called the Firelands Farmer. Would you be interested in helping us out because they need another freelance writer? And you know farming, right? And I'm like, sure, let's go with that. And then that next semester, I took an intro to news writing, and I just fell in love. And when I went to Wisconsin, I switched my major to mass communications. And by that time, I had started writing for the newspaper, the school newspaper. I was a UWM Post person. I did my internship at the Milwaukee Magazine. Shout out to the Milwaukee Magazine.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
I know. It was like all of these things came up, Denise, and then I quit school.
Ah, okay.
I quit school with only 3 classes left to go.
Oh.
Because Miss Katie Potato Head showed up, and so I pushed pause on all of that.
Okay.
And then basically I picked it back up, finished up my bachelor's degree in 1999. And then I started in community journalism, writing for the South Milwaukee Voice Graphic.
Okay. Wow.
So,
is that still around?
Well, I'm sure there's an iteration of it. It's probably called South Milwaukee Now.
Okay.
At the time, the journal, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, owned the CNI newspapers.
Right.
And I got to cover, I did that for about a year, and then I went to Southern Lakes newspapers.
I remember them very well.
Yeah, and so then I covered Raymond and Dover and these tiny little farm towns, and I just connected with them so much because farm girl life is just something you never, like, get over, right?
I'm a sure.
kind of girl. And so I did that for about 4 years. And I went to back to CNI newspapers because I wanted a bigger beat. And I started covering West Allis, which was great because that's where the state fair is.
Right.
How do you go along with that? And then I started writing for the Kenosha News. Got my heart broke. I love the Kenosha News. I love the people at the Kenosha News. And then I got laid off.
Yep.
And I went to Patch. I went back to the Kenosha News. I went to the Milwaukee Business Journal, and we started Racine County Eye at the same time. And that was 10 years ago, was Racine County Eye.
Amazing. What?
It's crazy addiction. It's crazy addiction.
No kidding. What a journey.
I know.
Well, and I love that your roots are in small journalism. You know,
yeah.
in the local people, the local paper in those days, the local stories, the local feel. I think that's what makes the Racine County Eye so successful.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about, and I think we probably have to tell 2 stories at a time. Tell me about the Racine County Eye, but also tell me how that is like the journalism of today, and how, from what you and I remember from the Kenosha News, the Journal Times, the local print papers we could count on, and how that's so different now.
I'm going to give you like this very watershed moment that I had. And don't get me wrong. I grew up in newspaper land. I spent 10 years there, and you know, it felt like a bad boyfriend that I kept,
that you
going,
kept
back
going back to.
Because I wrote for the Kenosha News 3 times, and I'm like, oh, great, you know. But, you know, there was a big shift, and it happened. I can tell you when exactly it happened. It happened in September of 2008 when the market crashed.
Yes.
And so many people like myself, we were part of the guild, and I was the last one in, so I was the first one out. And I had this moment of epiphany of a story that I did way back, and it was about the economics of agriculture. Okay. I'm going to bore you for about a second, and then it's going to get real interesting real quick. So I covered this story about, you know, the agricultural economy and why it wasn't doing well because so many family farms were dying. And it's very parallel to what's happening in corporate-owned journalism, specifically around the sustainability of the viability of what is our product and what is our, you know, what is our purpose, right? So when I started in community journalism, we showed up and we showed up at the community, the school board, we showed at the planning commission, the town hall, the budgets, the police blotter. We showed up to all of these things that were all so interrelated to one another with funding. Budget stories were so not my friend. Thank you, Jeremy Podolsky, for helping me with my math all the time. But we showed up, and you understood that institutional knowledge that one has to do with the other, which has to do with the other. And if you got one of those things off kilter, your community falls apart, right? Mm-hmm. And I've covered probably every community in southeastern Wisconsin, minus probably about six or seven of them. Kenosha, wow. Union Grove, Yorkville, Burlington. I've done, you know, stories west of the interstate in Kenosha County, Milwaukee County, Waukesha County. So you see the pain, right? So there's this moment of which I was with the Kenosha News. And the sustainability of journalism has been a very dominant theme for a very long time, right?
Yes.
And when I got laid off, I just kept thinking about this story I had done about, you know, the agricultural economy and buggy whips, okay? So the reason why we do not have buggy whip manufacturing friends is not because we're not good at making buggy whips. The reason why we don't have big buggy whip manufacturing is because the buggy whip manufacturers didn't realize that they were in the transportation industry.
Right.
My currency, my, as a news publisher, as a community news advocate, is understanding and forming relationships that are so strong that they can weather the crap, right? Of, you know, when things go south,
sure.
Things get hard, when things get complicated, that I can keep showing up, okay? That has consistently been problematic within journalism all over the United States, specifically on local journalism, because we create about 75% of the original reporting that gets to your delivered to you every single day,
you know? Wow.
So when that's gone, a lot of shenanigans start happening, and this is where we're at right now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I keep thinking, you know, the 24 hour news cycle, you know, became commonplace, whereas when I grew up, there was 15 minutes of news from 10 until 10:15 at night, and the Journal Times arrived on my porch the next afternoon, because it wasn't a morning then.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was our connection to news. But because there's so much else, it's got to be, even in your position, difficult to compete. So how do you?
Oh, I love this question. I figured it out.
So good.
A lot of it is collaboration. So I belong to a really great professional organization called Lion, which is the local independent online news publishing groups, because there, over the last 10 years, has been 20 years actually, has been a consistent flow of when people, you get all of these news junkies laid off, and they're like, I can do this online. And so the web made it very cheap and accessible to be able to do the things that we do. And so 10 years ago, that's what I did. And I got laid off again, and I'm like, I'm going to do this on my own, and we'll figure it out. But to speak to your point, some of the challenges are collaboration is key. So one of the things that we do is on Thursdays at 4 o'clock every, you know, pretty much all of the time, we have somebody from Racine County Eye talking about Racine stories that we've done. It's either Emma or Lauren. Shout out to them, because they are amazing human beings, and I've got a great team. So that elevates that local journalism.
And where does that take place?
TMJ4.
Okay. So
every Thursday, TMJ4 airs. We have one of our staff on there. It's either Emma or Lauren, primarily because I have bad hair and I do not have any interest whatsoever in being on TV, because I did that before and it's not my thing. But luckily I have humans that are so much better at it than I am. And so that's part of it. But we also have a really strong collaboration with like Wisconsin Watch, which is an arm of the UW-Madison's investigative journalism. And so they do some seriously kick butt stories that we can localize, right? That are really solid bones, data driven. We can also run any of them. Wisconsin Examiner, they do state news reporting, so we can pull those stories that we know are going to connect with our audience. And there's about 7 other news websites just like mine that we share stuff all of the time, right? So while we're small, kind of, we have 160,000 human beings that actually come to the news website every single month.
Oh, that's incredible.
I know, right? So it's really stepping up what we've lost. And we've lost a lot, especially in corporate-owned media. And as much as it hurts my heart, because I so didn't want that to happen, but it is happening. And so Racine County Eye is really focused on helping and filling that gap, right?
Sure.
So we also have the Kenosha Lens, which is a Facebook page, but eventually I'd like to have a whole entire website called the Kenosha Lens. But we've been around for 10 years. We've got 160,000 human beings that come to the news website, and we are going to finish out the year probably with about 2.2 million page views.
That's incredible.
I know.
It's a good place to take a quick break and remind everybody that they're listening to Community Matters here on WGTDHD Public Radio. I'm Marcia Connett, your host today, and with me is Denise Lockwood, and we're talking about, I guess, everything in terms of news. And you were just giving some statistics that absolutely blew my mind in terms of the number of people who view your page regularly. There are also a few of us who support your page on a regular basis as well. Yes. And, you know, and that kind of goes back to what we were talking earlier, that, you know, it was advertising that supported the newspapers, the print papers. But you too, that must be a challenge for you as well.
It is. I'm not going to lie.
Biggest challenge?
It is. And I think that, you know, being able to talk about it in formats like this is super important, because at the end of the day, one of the things that we have really asked ourselves, how do we differentiate ourselves? How do we elevate news? And we came up with the tagline of journalism that serves. And the reason why that is really important, because not every Racine County Eye story or story is a Racine County Eye story, right? I am a meat and potatoes, scrappy journalist who's going to show up to as much as I have the capacity to do, which is also a problem. But a journalism that serves for us means that when we do a 5-part series about why children are being poisoned with lead in their homes, I'm going to give you a really strong understanding of what to do if you suspect your house has lead in it. I'm going to give you the resources available. I'm going to give you the science behind it. I'm going to be really specific and transparent and intentional with my words, because I can tell you that childhood lead poisoning, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, is the number one cause of crime in our country.
Really?
Yes.
How is that connected?
Okay. Lead poisoning causes learning disabilities and behavioral problems. All right? 75% of all of the houses that are in the city of Racine were built prior to when we used lead paint. Mm-hmm. You also have a number of different sources, and we can kind of nerd out on that, but go check out Racine County Ag, because I did 5 stories on those.
Amazing. So,
and those are some of the stories that we really want to elevate as fulfilling our mission. And so that's what people get differently from Racine County Ag. Now, there's one thing that I do want to make sure that is very clear. We have no affiliation whatsoever with Kenosha County Ag. Completely different.
Separate, owned by somebody else. Okay.
Not my jam. That is not the version of the story you're going to get from me, because I do things differently. Anyway, challenging wise, as far as how we're funded, we have 4 to 5 different buckets, because quite frankly, COVID taught me a very big lesson about diversifying my revenue stream, because up until then, 80% of our revenue was restaurants, retail, and events.
Yep.
And that all disappeared.
Exactly. Everything that shut down. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was living a country music song, and it wasn't fun. And so it gave me time and pause to figure this out, right? So luckily, I have a really fabulous professional organization that stepped up and said, this is what you need to do. We were able to get a lot of funding from nonprofits and grants. Thank God for my daughter, who, Katie, I love you very much for being the grant writer you are. So she came, She came to work for me. She does not work for me now, but that was how we kind of gave ourselves some time to figure it out, right? The other piece of it was we also partnered with the local media foundation for a fundraiser, because we I don't charge for my news. I could, but I choose not to. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I choose not to is primarily because the city of Racine has this either the first or second highest unemployment rate in the state. And I feel very passionate that if you can support local journalism, you should. And mm-hmm. if you can't, that's okay. Okay.
Because you still deserve the news.
You still deserve the news. I want my news to be free. However, I still need to feed my family.
Of course.
I now have about 8 people between my staff and freelance writers, and we are very passionate about what we do. So we have a fundraiser going on, just heads up.
Perfect.
Through the Local Media Foundation, which is givebutter.com/Racine County I is the page. So if you are so inclined to donate some money, and it's actually through the foundation, so they're letting us use their 501c3 status.
Wonderful.
So you can write it off on your taxes. So if that's something you feel passionate about and called to, that this is really important, please do give.
Right.
One of the things that I am very concerned about is next year with elections. Not for what you might think, but let's just kind of back out here and what's going on with news. The news kind of happening right around. Corporate-owned media has literally gutted the newsrooms. to the point where they're not going to be covering the elections with the capacity they have. They might do some, but it's not going to be to the point where, and we are in a very unique position where we can, but we also need to be mindful that we need to support local journalism in that work, because here's something to keep in mind. In the spring, there will be 19 people on the Racine County Board that are up for re-election.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Okay.
How many are on the Racine County Board total?
19. The entire county. Here.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was not well planned. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, geez. And you can have feelings about that for sure. I know. Let's just take that in for a moment. You also have many school board races going on, and there is a very strong movement of one particular party wanting to take over a lot of school board elections.
Yes.
Primarily because they believe that that's going to help with the down ticket with the up ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably not a totally off the wall strategy, but that is what's happening. And
yep.
So we want to make sure we're covering those school board races. We want to make sure we're covering municipal races. And I am fearful that if we do not get well funded very, very quickly, friends, we're not going to have enough capacity to inform the public about all of these races. And there is nothing more important, I think, in helping to educate people about who's running for election.
Right. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Definitely something to, for all of us to consider.
Yeah. So we are actually going to, I'm going to share a little new news, Racine County iNews today. So from 6 to 8:30 on November 15th at Social on 6th Street in Racine, we are going to have a State of the News kind of event. It's also going to be a fundraiser.
Oh, how fun.
A lot of this, I need people. I need people to understand how serious this is, okay? I don't care about how people vote. I want to make sure you have the highest and best information that adheres to the Society of Professional Journalism.
Yep.
That ethics in reporting is so completely important. It is something we're good at. And we want to make sure that we're telling stories holistically and not as how, if, you know, don't get your news from Facebook. You get it from a news source.
Yes, please. Oh, my gosh.
And I am very concerned with how people get their information in the absence of not having really strong connection to journalistic standards.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely. That is such a big idea that I'm having trouble wrapping my head around it. That there is so much at stake.
Well, let me put it in this frame. My competitor has two reporters. That might change soon, but they have two. And I don't know how they're going to do that. But, you know, God help them if they can get as much as they can. But Racine County I is definitely here to fill that gap, because I want nothing more than people to have the highest and best information. That's true. And
that, absolutely. And I have to say, I see you on Facebook. I see the Racine County I News, and I cannot tell you what your personal political affiliation is.
Well, I can tell you. I'm a purple. Which is why my website is purple.
Okay, good.
I was raised by a Republican and a Democrat. My dad.
Okay, so you got a little of both in you. Okay. Yeah, but it is so clear in your reporting and in what your news source puts out that it's very even-handed. It is not, you know, it doesn't skew one way or the other. And I am always impressed by that.
Thank you. We do a lot of work to make sure that that voice, that tone is really connected to, like I said, the highest and best information.
That's wonderful. And I love that you do multi-part series. You were just talking about the lead problem. And, you know, those of us who live here, and especially here in Racine, tend to get our news from, you know, the Milwaukee TV stations. And so we're always hearing about the lead problem in Milwaukee. And we know they have issues both in their homes as well as in their pipes, their water pipes. But, you know, I would not have stopped to think about how serious the problem is here in Racine.
Huge. And do you know what actually counteracts that problem?
What?
Fresh food. If a child, an infant, it has access to fresh food, the heavy metals don't attach themselves to, it's a neurotoxin is what I was explained to me, because I spent a lot of time with the program director from the Department of Health Services.
Sure.
And so he was explaining to me that when you have access to fresh food, this is one of the reasons why that food desert piece of it, access to fresh food is such a huge determining factor to your economic viability, your educational attainment, your access to health care, all of that. And this is an insurance policy, if we continue to ignore it, that things are going to stay the way they are, okay? The story that I tell is a little boy whose name is Arvon, and you'll have to take a read of it. But this little boy was diagnosed when he was 3 years old, and he has severe, you know, cognitive impairment. He's an 11-year-old, cute as a button little boy who reads... He's in the sixth grade, but he reads at a fourth grade level, okay? He gets teased a lot because of how he talks, because he has a learning, not a learning disability. He does have learning disabilities, but
he has a speech disability.
Yeah, and this impacts his mental health because some of his peers told them that he should just die. Yeah. You know, so his
mom. It just hurts my heart.
It hurts mine too. You know, so those are some of the things that I really want to make sure that we're telling the story holistically, but with intention to balance things out too.
Most definitely, most definitely. Well, so how can we, the public, help you? Now I know that. We can feed you story ideas. We can suggest things that we'd like you to look at. And I know you get more than your share of news releases from organizations who don't have any money to spend but want you to talk about them.
Yeah.
Having worked for some of those. But how else can we, the public, support what you do?
Share our work. And here's why that's important. I have publishing agreements with, and this is one of the really awesome parts about what's happening in journalism right now. We have publishing agreements with Google, with Facebook. We also have publishing agreements with Microsoft. And those people pay me money. Okay?
That is so impressive. I can't tell you how excited I was to hear that you manage that.
Yeah, I was super. So, like, just to put that in perspective, we are one of 150 news websites across the United States to be on the Google News Showcase. Okay.
That's incredible.
It is. So, we're right alongside of AP and Reuters and you know, just some really fabulous names. And to be able to be part of that is really important. But I don't think people understand that, you know, local journalism, A, is expensive. It costs me about $250,000 every year to run my news website. So we need to be elevated. But here's the perspective is that if it was from a newspaper, it would cost 10 times that amount of money with the same staff. All right.
Exactly. Which is why newspapers are gone.
Literally. Yeah. So share our work. Share it, like it, love it, engage with it. One of the things that we're also going to be doing is a whole series of connection community conversations around what should the news be, because I mean, my staff, I have a great staff. My staff is amazing. But we also need to prioritize our work, right? So I can write press releases all day long, and I have done some of that, don't get me wrong. We have a community news submission form, so if you are part of a nonprofit, please use that. But we want to make sure that we're doing some really strong journalism and being able to have some of these community conversations around what news should be is something that we're going to be. So stay tuned. We're going to have probably 5 or 6 of them around the whole county so that
nice.
We get feedback around what news should be.
Oh, that's exciting. That's very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, we've only got a few minutes left. Is there anything else that you'd like people to know about what you do or how they can financially support you?
Yeah. So I'm going to talk about the fundraiser again.
Okay.
Give me that. So Give Butter, which is butter as in stick of butter, .com / Racine County I is the news fundraiser. We're also going to have that fundraiser, that in-person fundraiser called State of the News. It's going to be from 6 to 8:30 p.m. on November 15th at Social on 6th. And so please show up because we do so much work and there's so much more that we can do, but we need people to fund it. We absolutely need people to fund journalism.
Absolutely. And if good journalism is important, then we got to put our money where our mouth is. Because otherwise we're left with what Facebook feeds us. And
yeah.
And that's probably not the thing we should rely on, as you said. So, oh my goodness, this has absolutely been amazing. Now, I know we got like a minute. You mentioned some staff. Tell us quickly about the staff who work with you.
Yeah, so Heather Yarasiambi and I started the news website. We've kind of parted ways, but she came back. She's been a journalist for, gosh, more than 30 years.
Wow.
Paul Holly. Paul is just amazing. He started working for the Journal Times. He's been around for 30 years, more than 30 years.
He has.
Got Lauren Lamoureux, Emma Widmar. Mark Hertzberg does my photography.
He's
who also
amazing.
Just got inducted into the Hall of Fame. Super happy for him.
Yes.
We also have Dan Trutschel, who he helps me with sports because nobody wants me writing sports.
I would agree. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Great.
And then we've got a couple of other people that contribute to the news website. We have Dee Holzel. Dee actually came from the Journal Times. She covers courts and government. We finally are doing more tax stories so that you know where your tax dollars are getting spent because everybody wants to know about that, right?
Great. Well, Denise, this has been an absolute joy. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your being part of Community Matters today. And thanks to all of you who joined us. We'll see you in about a month. Thanks much. Bye now.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Well, this week on WGTD's Noon Tunes, we're enjoying the music of acclaimed Kenosha Christian singer-songwriter Anna Nuzzo. At the end of every WGTD midday newscast, we feature a song by a local artist. So